We've come to the end of the great book of 2 Peter, and today we're in chapter 3, and we're going to cover verses 14 through 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, let's begin in verse 14. Here we find another exhortation that Peter gives to these Christians and to Christians today. He says in verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Now remember that Peter has just been talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He talks about the fact that the earth, the physical universe, will be burned up. And he said, since you are looking for such things, that is, the things that he's just talked about pertaining to the coming of the Lord, he says, in light of that, be diligent. And it's interesting that Peter began this letter telling these people to do the same thing. Remember back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and love." So in this last letter, in his final inspired words in the Bible, Peter urged these Christians to give the Christian life all that they had to give. And so he says, in light of the fact that Jesus will come again, you need to be earnest. You need to be zealous. You need to be diligent for that day. He had just exhorted them in a similar way in verse 11. Notice verse 11, where after he talked about the coming of the Lord in verse 10, he says in verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," that is, the physical universe will be dissolved, he said, "what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Peter says, in light of the fact that the world will end, in light of the fact that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, what kind of life should you be living? Where ought your priorities to be? What kind of attitude should you have in this lifetime? Peter says, if you think about the second coming often enough and deeply enough, it ought to affect the way that you live. So the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ is not just some kind of technical, abstract idea that has no relationship to how we live our lives in our home, and in society, and throughout our lives. It is an idea in our minds that affects the way that we conduct our lives, and that we see very clearly from verse 11. Sometimes people don't like to hear certain topics of the Bible discussed because they say they want something more relevant. They want a preacher or a teacher to discuss something from the Bible that deals directly with some issue in their life. And yet this passage says that simply contemplating the second coming of Christ does have an effect on your daily walk as a Christian. In verse 15, he goes on to say an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. The word account here means to consider. It means to think about. And in particular here, he says that we ought to think about, we ought to consider the fact that we are saved and that other people can be saved because of the long-suffering of God. He says that we need to consider the long-suffering of our Lord and how that the long-suffering of our Lord is the reason for our salvation. Without the long-suffering of God, we couldn't be saved. Remember back in chapter 3, verse 9, just before this. In verse 9, Peter said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So as Peter gets ready to leave this world, and again, back in chapter 1, he said that he would soon leave this life. As he knows that he's going to depart from this world, he tells them and he tells us that we ought to think more about the long-suffering of God, and we ought to think about how long-suffering God truly is. And notice also in verse 15 that Peter mentions our beloved brother Paul. It's interesting that he refers to Paul as our beloved brother. Why is that interesting? Why does that stand out and deserve our special attention? Well, because Paul had rebuked Peter in front of some other Christians. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, Paul got on to Peter in front of all those people. He rebuked him because Peter was in the wrong. And yet here in the book of 2 Peter, years later, we find Peter referring to Paul, the man that rebuked him, as our beloved brother. Peter didn't hold a grudge against Paul. He didn't resent him or say something petty about him. If many people had been in Peter's shoes, they might have resented Paul. They may have even held a grudge against Paul. But not Peter. And this says a great deal about the attitude of the Apostle Peter. Peter then goes on to say, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. So he compliments Paul's gift. Paul had special wisdom from God, and Peter says that he has written to you according to that wisdom. So Paul wrote to these same Christians that Peter is writing to. Who were those Christians? Where were those Christians? Well, we have to go back to the book of 1 Peter to see who those Christians were, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and remember that Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians. He also mentions Cappadocia, Asia, and remember that Ephesus was a city of Asia, and Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, and then he mentions Bithynia. But on top of that, remember, of course, that these letters that Paul and Peter and other men wrote were circulated throughout all the churches. And so Peter is saying that Paul also wrote to these people about these things that Peter is talking about. Because in verse 16 he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. What things? The things in particular that Peter is talking about in the book of 2 Peter. False teachers, the need to grow in the Christian life, and especially here in chapter 3, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul agreed with Peter on that. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, he used the same illustration that Peter used about the second coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. That is what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10, and that is what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. So Peter says here in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, Paul was speaking in them of these things, and then he says, in which, that is, in these epistles, are some things hard to be understood. Now, let's look very carefully at the wording here. Peter said that Paul wrote some things hard to understand. Notice the word some. He didn't say all the things that Paul wrote are hard to understand. He said some things are hard to understand. And that's to be expected, because if there's to be room for growth in the Bible, there must be sections that are easier to understand and sections that are harder to understand. There must be enough room to keep all of us challenged. And notice that he says, there are some things in Paul's epistles that are hard to understand. He didn't say impossible to understand. He didn't say these things cannot be understood. He simply said they're hard to understand. It takes more effort. As far as the basics are concerned, and in fact, as far as the most important duties are concerned, those things in the Bible, written by Paul or Peter or any other inspired man, are simple. They are easy to understand. The plan of salvation, the weightier matters of the law, these are simple and easy to grasp. But Paul wrote some things hard to understand, And those difficult parts to interpret are the very passages that some people in Peter's day who were not ready to understand them tried to teach them and ended up twisting those passages. He says, which, that is these things that were hard to understand that Paul wrote, he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. The word rest means to twist. It means to pervert. They would do that by taking a verse out of context, by misapplying a passage, just like people do today. The Bible says that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. But notice the character of these people, and notice the level that these people are on. Now, these are the very people that go to these hard parts of the Bible to understand, and they end up twisting them. The Bible says, first of all, that they are unlearned. Now, the word unlearned here doesn't mean unlearned in a formal sense, that is, unlearned or uneducated as far as secular education is concerned. Remember, the Bible says that Peter himself was not a very educated man as far as secular education was concerned. Acts 4, verse 13. So the unlearned part here about these people simply means that they are biblically unlearned. They don't even understand and accept the basics, the fundamentals of the Bible, and yet they're trying to go to these hard and difficult passages. But not only are they unlearned, they are unstable. They're apt to change. They're given to believing new ideas. They're like the people that Paul warns about in Ephesians 4, verse 14, who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And yet these people who are unlearned, they don't understand the fundamental principles of Bible interpretation, and they're unstable on top of that. These are the very people that go to the harder parts of the Bible and end up misinterpreting those passages. And this happens today. When people who do not even understand God's plan of salvation, they do not even understand the fundamentals of New Testament Christianity, and yet they spend most of their time trying to interpret and sometimes even trying to teach others passages from the book of Daniel and passages from the book of Revelation that are harder to understand. They're not even grounded yet in the fundamentals, and yet they're trying to teach others. And they end up resting, that is, twisting what those passages say. And Peter said it is not only Paul's writings that they twist, but he says, as they do also the other scriptures. That is, the same people twist not only the writings of Paul, but they pervert the rest of the scriptures unto their own destruction. Now notice this expression, the other scriptures, that would include the Old Testament. That would include the other books of the New Testament. And so this is an indicator in the Bible itself of what books belong in the Bible. And so this is one verse. It's not the only verse, but it is an important passage to help us to deal with questions about that. Now in verses 17 and 18, we have a final warning and exhortation. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So Peter ends this book warning about falling and telling us how to keep from falling, and that is to grow. So he began this book telling them to grow. And it is fitting that he ends this book, his final inspired words, by exhorting us to grow in the faith.